You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Bayonets and large caliber weapons. And White House Domestic Policy Chief Cecilia Munoz says other riot gear and firearms will only be shipped under strict new rules.
Clear training and safety procedures in place. And provisions for after-action reports when that equipment is used in a significant way.
The president's announcing these steps on a visit to the Camden, New Jersey Police Department, along with a string of other proposals for getting cops and minority communities working together. Those include publishing new data on things like traffic stops and officer-involved shootings. Mark Smith, Washington.
Stocks are little changed in early trading on Wall Street as the market comes off its latest record high. The S&P 500 closed at a record high Friday, and several stocks are moving on news of acquisitions. This is USA Headline News.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham all but confirmed today that he will run for the 2016 Republican presidential nomination. In an interview on CBS this morning, Graham said he'd make the official announcement June 1st in his hometown of Central South Carolina.
I've got the best job in the world as senator from South Carolina. I've got a very comfortable life. I'm running because of what you see on television. I'm running because I think the world is falling apart. I've been more right than wrong on foreign policy.
And he says he thinks the next president should help both parties get along with each other.
The reason I've had six primary opponents in my last election is that I've been accused of working with Democrats too much. In my view, Democrats and Republicans work together too little.
But he sidestepped questions about whether the U.S. was right to invade Iraq in 2003. President Obama is banning the federal government from providing local police departments with some military-style equipment. The White House suggested last year that Obama would continue the practice. But an interagency group found substantial risk of misusing or overusing items like those used last summer in Ferguson, Missouri, and could undermine trust in police. Spanish police have arrested five people they say were trying to force a Moroccan immigrant to sell one of his kidneys for 6,000 euros or $7,000. Police say the man tried to pull out of the deal while undergoing clinical tests, but the group kidnapped him and threatened to kill him if he didn't go ahead. Police say the alleged buyer was a dealer of a criminal gang whose son had kidney problems. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
The weather today. This afternoon is a slight chance of showers, with thunderstorms also possible after 3 p.m. Be mostly cloudy with a high near 72, east winds around 14 miles per hour, and the chance of precipitation is 20%. Tonight, a slight chance of showers before 7 p.m., then a chance of showers and thunderstorms between 7 and 8, then a chance of showers after 8. Patchy fog after 3 a.m., otherwise cloudy with a low around 58, east winds 5 to 7 miles an hour, becoming calm in the evening. The chance of precipitation is 50%, and the new rainfall amounts of a tenth to a quarter of an inch. Tuesday, we'll have showers likely and possibly a thunderstorm before 2 p.m., then a chance of showers and thunderstorms for the rest of the afternoon. There'll be patchy fog before 8 a.m. Otherwise, it'll be cloudy with a high near 82, southwest winds 3 to 7 miles per hour, and the chance of precipitation is 70%. Tuesday night's a chance of showers, mainly before 8 p.m. Then it's going to be cloudy with a low around 56 and southwest winds 5 to 7 miles per hour, becoming northwest after midnight. Chances of precipitation is 30%. Wednesday, sunny with a high near 68, northwest winds 9 to 13 miles an hour. And Wednesday night will be a little cloudy with a low around 46. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and this is NAMI's Hour, 2 to 3 every Monday. form complements of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, and NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no paid staff. We don't have an office. We work out of our homes, use our own phones, that sort of thing. And we try to help people who either have a mental health issue or are families who have someone in their family who has a mental health issue. We do that by teaching classes. My wife and I are actually, this coming Thursday, will be the 12th week of our 12-week family-to-family class, so it'll be our last class before the summer. And we also have, it helps families try to understand a little bit better about what their loved one is going through. We also run support groups. Anybody can come. You don't have to be a member of NAMI. And it's judgment-free. Nobody judges you. Because everybody there has either gone through the same thing or is going through it, or has gone through it and moved on. So it's someplace where you're not judged. And it's everything we do is free. There's no charge for anything. So consequently, it's something that if you have someone or want some more information, feel free. Just you can go on the internet. You can, if you're in New Jersey, you can look at NAMINewJersey.org and find the county. If you're out of state, you can just look for NAMI.org and you'll find your state and click on your state and your county and see what happens. Or it'll be, may not be in your county, but it could be close to your county. Okay, today we are very, very privileged to have with us Dr. Deborah Serrani. She is a licensed psychologist and a certified psychoanalyst who has been in practice for over 20 years. Dr. Serrani is a go-to expert for psychological issues, and her interviews can be found on Newsday, ABC News, Psychology Today, Chicago Tribune, Glamour Magazine, on the radio at CBS, NPR, and our show, Mental Health Matters. Just to name a few, Dr. Deb has also worked as a technical advisor for NBC's Law and Order Special Victims Unit. Dr. Deb is also a share care expert for Dr. Oz and has Ask the Therapist column in Esperanza Magazine. Esperanza Magazine is a magazine for people with bipolar and depression. Dr. Serrani has also authored and written two books, award-winning books, I must add, Living with Depression, and the other book was Depression in Your Child, A Guide for Parents and Caregivers. Dr. Deb, how are you?
I'm good today, Larry. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, I wouldn't. I love having you on. I wish you would live in New Jersey. You'd be here more often.
Well, I'm always happy to talk on your show, and I'm really happy to talk about the subject we're going to cover today, too.
Yes. May is Mental Health Month, Mental Health Awareness Month. For those of you that do not know, but it is. And we're going to talk about mental wellness. We're going to try to share with the listeners some points that, you know, maybe they can get something out of if they're going through a little tense time or whatever. One of the things that you sent me was learn to relax. Want to elaborate a little on that?
Sure.
Doesn't take me much long to relax. Ask my wife. I fall asleep in a chair. You know?
It's interesting. One of the most important things that Mental Health Month raises is the awareness of self-care. Some people are really, really good at it. You know these individuals as people who just, I don't know, they just find and strike a great balance between getting their needs met, not being too selfish about it. But for a lot of us, self-care is really hard. It's not something we naturally do, or if we do it, we might not get enough of it to really refuel ourselves, or maybe we go overboard and then we, you know, kind of forget, you know, the other things in our lives that we have to tend to. So,
you know, also,
you know, talking about self-care is a very important factor when you're somebody who's struggling with mental illness. So,
or a family member, or, you know, someone who I tell family members that if you're going to take care of your loved one who has a mental health issue, you have to take care of yourself.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be able to take care of your loved one. You know?
That's right. And I always use the example of when the air masks fall in the airplane.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they tell you to make sure you put it on first before you go to help a child or someone else who's
right.
with you.
Right, exactly. And, you know, if you use that example, which I think is an awesome example, and you use it in daily life with someone who is suffering from a mental health issue, you take care of yourself. Not that you don't take care of your loved one, because you do.
Right.
But, you know, like I tell people, what do you like doing? Do you like reading? Well,
right.
You know, read a book for 20 minutes or so, just to separate
right.
yourself, you know?
The research on relaxing is if you could get about 20 minutes a day just to check your brain at the door, relax your body in some way, it's a way of kind of giving yourself a mini vacation. You don't have to go away. You
mm-hmm.
don't have to, you know, do something for an extended period of time. But you have to give your mind a break. It's
right.
important to give it a break. So, like you said, you know, when you tell people, what do you like? Do you like to read? Do you like to watch a movie? Do you like to listen to music? Maybe a hobby, maybe taking a walk. Anything that can kind of slow your processing down
sure.
is a great way to balance your mental well.
Take your dog for a walk around a block.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's you concentrate on the dog and not your, you know, other issues, you know.
Sometimes I'll find a nice pool of sunlight.
Yes.
Whether it's in my office when I need a break or just outside. And I just like to sit there and look at nature 15, maybe 10 minutes and, you know, just to think of nothing or just to see what's in front of me and hear what's in front of me. And it's tremendously refueling.
It is. It is. A lot of times I'll sit on my back deck, and we live in the woods. And so, you know, outside of the area for the backyard, everything else is woods all around.
That's
it.
That's wonderful.
And, you know, you can hear the birds, and you can, you know, if you look off into the woods, you can see deer, you know. And it's just, you know, nature, and it's just very calming, you know.
And there's a neurochemistry that gets shifted when you move from the stress of work or the stress of your daily life. We interrupt that stress neurochemistry, and we flood ourselves with dopamine and serotonin. Those are feel-good hormones. So it's really, really important to try and find some time during the day to at least do this once. You know, if
mm-hmm.
you can do it more than once, grab a 10-minute, 15-minute break here or there. You'll feel the difference. It really does reset your mind, body, and soul.
It does. And, you know, my wife is a gardener, you know, and she's always digging in the dirt. You know?
That's fabulous.
Yeah. And, well, being me, I always say, well, it's cheaper than the psychiatrist, you know.
But, but it is a form of therapy.
It is. And it is for her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and she'll tell you exactly that. She says, that's my therapy. I go out and dig holes and, you know, plant flowers and, you
that's
know.
Wonderful.
So I says, you know, that's great, you know. And but you'll see when she gets, like, tired, you know, from digging and all that, because the crown we have is, you know, 99% rock. So, you know, she'll take a glass of ice water. And she'll go sit on a swing in the yard.
That's lovely.
And,
what
you know,
a lovely
with a
image.
Book, you know, and it's just fine, you know, and that's her relaxation, aside
mm-hmm.
from digging in the dirt, you know. But
right,
no.
But she's also taking a break from that.
Right.
And resetting herself. And we tend to forget this in this country. They're very good about that in Europe and in other countries aside from the United States. You know, they get their rest time, they get their vacation time, they get their break time. We're just not very good at it here in the United States, and it's such a vital part of well-being to
right.
do that, to at least grab
right.
10, 15 minutes a day,
yes.
if not more.
Absolutely, absolutely. You also wrote Be Kind to Yourself. Do you want to elaborate
yes.
on that?
Sure. You know, we're such tough critics on ourselves for the most part, and when things are difficult in your life or when you're struggling with something or even if just it's a bad day, it's so helpful if you can kind of check the way that you're talking to yourself? Is it a negative self-talk that's going on? Is it a negative thought pattern that's kind of looping throughout your day? And if so, can you shift it? Because when we talk kindly to ourselves, when we are not judgmental with ourselves, we actually help, again, change our neurochemistry. And our neurochemistry helps to reset our sense of well-being. So if you could say things like, you know, it's a bad day, it's not a bad life, or right, tomorrow's another day, or all right, I didn't do this very well, but, you know, I can think about what I did do well today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how we talk about ourselves, the research says, really shifts our positive sense of well-being. And many people who struggle with mental illness, you know, there are certain aspects that are difficult, and it can shift your mood to something more depressive or irritable. But so if you can kind of be kinder to yourself, or right, not be too tough on yourself, this is what the research says about people who are the happiest, that they often give themselves an out when they've had a bad moment or a bad day.
And, you know, a lot of times people will make a list of things they're going to do today, you know, whatever they may be.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't complete the list, they get all in a flutter, you know, and
right,
and they're all upset because they didn't complete the list. Well, is it, you know, I try to explain to people that, you know, come in for, you know, support groups and stuff like that, and in classes that we teach, that is the list that important, you know, that you only completed half of it?
Right.
Well, you completed half of it, you know. It's like you didn't take out the kitchen garbage. Okay, so take it out tomorrow. It's not a life-threatening situation, you know.
Right. I sometimes tell people to, instead of writing a to-do list, to write a done list. What have you done?
Right, exactly.
And
yes,
you can see that there's quite a lot that most people get done in a day. And again, we always remember what we didn't get to, but we don't mm-hmm. celebrate what we did get to. And that's kind of part of this whole looking at yourself in a kinder, gentler way.
Yeah, and I don't think it only applies to people with mental health issues. I think a lot of people in general do the same thing.
That's right.
You know, and they can take the same hint. You know, I like the idea of, you know, a done list, you know. I really do. I think that's kind of cool, actually. You know, I'm going to have to start making one of those up myself.
My done list is awesome today.
Yeah.
And it was awesome yesterday and the day before. And I tell people, if you do that, you're going to say, wow, look at what I did today.
Yeah, I can show that to my wife. Look at what I did. You know, boy, yep, don't bother me about doing this. You know? Look what I did already, you know.
And again, it leaves you feeling like you've done something well, you've completed it, instead of seeing the glass half empty.
Right.
Oh, I didn't get to this,
right,
and I didn't get to that.
Right. And, you know, a lot of times, yeah, there are things that, you know, you wanted that done or you should get done, but it's not life-threatening if they're not
right
done until the next day, you know.
Right, and you're suggesting very, very smartly, you know, sometimes people have unrealistic goals. Not that the chore or the goal is unrealistic, but maybe getting 25 things done in a day,
exactly,
is.
Right, exactly, especially for me, you know. But,
right,
but,
right.
You know, the next one I find hard to do, and I think...
Me too.
Well, we know what the next one is then, don't we? For those of you that don't know what we're talking about, it's eat properly, you know. And I love to, and my wife would love me to, and she tries, she really does, but, you know, I always find some place to have my ice cream at night.
I just had that just before we spoke on the phone.
See, I have mine at night.
I said, oh, my goodness, how can I be eating this chocolate chip ice cream right before I talk about eating well and, you know, mental. But it was just one of those things.
Yeah.
And, you know, eating properly is so important. We know from research that good foods, balanced foods, help keep our body in not just, you know, good form,
mm-hmm,
but it really changes your mood and your irritability. Too much sugar isn't good. Too much salt isn't good. Too much fats aren't good. Too much carbs aren't good.
Yeah, right.
They're
right,
all delicious. But I always say that, you know, I always try to eat properly, and I do. I try every day, and I succeed every day until I don't. Yeah. And that's my realistic way of working with it.
Yes, exactly. I know what you mean.
You know, it's a good day if I can do it, and if it's right. Not a good day, I just had ice cream after lunch. All right, so I'll try and watch the rest of the day. But, you know, for those of us who struggle with mental illness, you know, food can be a great source of comfort.
Yes.
But it is just mindful to be aware that too much of these good foods really can complicate our mood disorders and our mental illnesses. So it's hard, but, you know, even if you just kind of keep track of it, it can help.
Right. You know, like my son's doctor told him.
Sorry, I lost you there.
No, that's, I said my son's doctor told him that he's got to cut back on the caffeine. And he drinks a lot of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So he cuts back. He has cut back. I have to say that. And the doctor told him, he says, you know, drink water, you know. And so my wife drinks water with lemon squeezed in it, you know. And so I don't know. You know, I don't want to judge because I don't happen to like it. I like the regular water without anything in it.
Me but, too. I like it. Yeah. I like it without.
Ice cubes. That's it, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, she said to him, you know, why don't you try this? Well, he sort of likes it, you know.
That's great.
He has cut back a little bit on it. Not that he stopped drinking coffee because he hasn't. But, you know, he drinks more water now, which is good, you know. So
you know, there's just all these studies from science that tell us that eating well helps you feel good. And, you know, you don't even really need the science to know that. You
right.
know that if you eat pretty well, you know, you watch your sugars and your salts and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, you do. You feel
mm-hmm.
better.
Sure, absolutely.
So, you know, this tip is really a common sense tip, but boy, it's easy for some, but so difficult for many.
Absolutely. I'm going to jump ahead a couple because I think the one I want to talk about next sort of fits in with eating properly, and that's exercise.
Yes.
You know, I know you got to check with your doctor, your medical doctor, to see if you can, you know, what you can exercise and what you can and can't
right,
do. And
right,
so on and so
you know,
forth,
general walking is something that most people can do unless they have, you know, a real significant issue with their legs or knees or whatnot, but I always tell people to check with your doctor what they think you can and can't do.
Right.
But we know that exercise is a tremendous stress reliever. There are tons of studies that look at people who struggle with stress and mental illness if they are on an exercise regime as opposed to those who aren't, that they report significant improvement in their mental well-being. So we know that exercise is a great, easy, wonderfully holistic way that you can help manage your stress levels. And we know it changes not only your fitness in your body, but your mental fitness too.
Especially after you have chocolate chip ice cream at lunch.
That's true.
or at supper, you know, or watching TV or something at night, you know. But I know that, you know, like I've had both my knees replaced at the same time. And I can walk on a level track. I can't walk on anything that's like,
with an incline.
Yeah, with incline up or down or, you know.
Sure.
And that's why the backyard sometimes in the woods is a little tough to walk through because, you know, there's tree stumps and what have you there. But, no, you know, so I go to the gym. Mm-hmm. I can ride a bike. So I ride
right.
the bike, you know. I do some other machine exercises, but, you know, it's whatever you do is good. It's better than nothing.
That's true. And I think it's an important thing to highlight for those who do struggle with mental illness because so many of us want to exercise. We want to move our bodies. But sometimes the illness is just so mm-hmm. overwhelming that your best intentions are all that they is the best you can do. I mean, all you can
right.
do is say, you know, I wish I could get that walk. I wish I could, you know, maybe go for a swim. And I always say to those individuals, keep that motion going, even if you don't make it out the door or
mm-hmm.
don't make it on the stationary bike. Just keep saying, I want to get there. I want to do this. of all the things that I've learned in treating individuals and groups of people who struggle with mental illness, this exercise is an enormously difficult thing for some.
Yes, yes. And, you know, for many reasons, too, like you mentioned, you know. It says here, find a friend. And, so, you know, I'm just going to speak for my own personal me. I don't make friends easy.
Mm.
I never did. And, you know, yes, I do have a couple close friends, yes, but not many. You know, I have a lot of, what shall we call them, acquaintances?
Acquaintances.
Right. I have many acquaintances because being in the line that I've, you know, volunteer work and so on and so forth, you know, but still by the same token, close friends per se, I don't have a lot. How do you find that fits with people with mental health issues?
Well, you know, maybe what I should say here is instead of find a friend, just find someone to talk or chat with, because I do think you can achieve the same thing with acquaintances. I'm very similar with you, Larry. I don't make friends easily by choice.
Right.
And I have many, many acquaintances that are funny and warm and you know, dear to me. But the notion here about keeping mental wellness is to not be isolated. Loneliness is a killer. It's a killer for people who don't have mental illness. And it doubles for those of us who do, because we tend to be isolated or we tend to struggle in social situations. So the key here is try to be connecting with others. Even if you're at the gym or taking a walk or somebody's opening the door for you or the mail or the postal worker hand delivers you a package, you know, see if you can just connect. Smile, say hello. These social connections we know do a lot for our physical and mental well-being. And if you have a friend, if you have someone that you can talk to on a deeper level, that's icing on the cake, because then that can be a person you can share some of your struggles with or some of your dreams with or some of your day-to-day issues that you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
But the notion here is to not be isolated and to try as much as you can to connect with others.
Right, right. And, you know, like you said, we have a lot of acquaintances, you know, who we can talk to.
Right.
You know, some of them I think would be shocked if I started talking to them in that way, but, but you know, but it does work. You know, I mean, yes, it does. Because I think everybody needs somebody to talk to.
Right. And even if it's, again, if it's somebody through, you know, the support group at NAMI, you know, there's tremendous connection and healing that can happen from that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also something from if you're at the supermarket and somebody says to you, have a nice day, and they, you know, they really mean it when they say
right.
it. It makes you feel good.
Sure, sure. Absolutely. What do you mean when you say, well, I know what you mean, but maybe you could elaborate a little bit, learn to say no.
Well, again, you know, this is about self-care. And there are some people who are very good about saying no. You know, they will tell you right away. You even know before you ask them that they're going to say, no, I don't want to go out to dinner, or no, I'm not going to go that extra mile for you. These are people who have no trouble stating where they begin and end. But most of us in the world struggle with saying no. You know, it's a hard thing to say. If somebody asks you to, you know, go the extra mile, or if you need to set a limit and you're afraid to say no because you don't want to disappoint your boss or your neighbor or your husband or your wife, it starts to become overwhelming for you. So learning how to say no is not about being selfish. It's about learning how to give a boundary of what you think might be too much for you. And a lot of times in my work with patients, we come across this issue all the time. It's not about being assertive. It's not about being aggressive. It's about self-care. Where do you draw the line, and when can you express that this might be too much for you to do?
Right. You know, I have that problem with the volunteer work. You know, I say to my wife many times, I work harder now than when I worked. You know, it's true, you know, because when I worked, I was a boss, you know, and
right.
you do this and you do
you
that, and have,
more.
You know, mm-hmm. have it back to me by Friday, you know,
right.
And
right.
now I look around and, you know, I say to my wife, well, can you do this? She looks at me and laughs, you know, so there's no one to, you know, say delegate it to, you know, so,
right.
You know, I understand that you have to, you know, even anybody, I don't care if you have mental health issues or not, you have to learn to say no sometimes.
Right, and especially when you're dealing with a chronic illness, autism, schizophrenia, depression, anxiety, part of the treatment plan is knowing what your triggers are. And if there are places and experiences or people that brush up against those triggers, this is the time where you say, you know, no, I can't go to the staff party.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much for me.
Right.
Or, you know, no, I can't take this work home over the weekend. Or, you know, I'd like to go to the social on Friday, but, you know, I just was at the support meeting on Wednesday, and I think it might be too much for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's about knowing what your limits are and being unapologetic, in a sense, because this is about self-care. It's not about, I don't want to do this. It's about, it's not good for me.
Right. At least not at this time. You know,
right.
Maybe down a road, yes, but not now, you know.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's good for anybody, really, you know.
It's true. A lot of these tips work for people who don't have mental illness issues as well as those who do. That's
right.
true.
Right, right. What about procrastination?
Mm. Well, there are a lot of people who... I'm one of those people that I don't procrastinate. I think I have a little too much anxiety and a little bit too much OCD in a good way that gets me going so things are never late or I'm not in a chaotic state to get them done.
Mm-hmm.
But a great deal of individuals who struggle with mental illness have planning difficulties. It's hard to kind of get everything in order or, you know, I'm waiting for my prescriptions because I didn't get to the pharmacist on time. So procrastination with a chronic illness is like it's just a terrible perfect storm for chaos to happen. So I often tell people to do it now. That's my phrase. Some of the kids I work with will say, yes, I know, Dr. Debbie, I should do it now. Because doing something now, when you can remember it, it sets the pace so that it doesn't become something that you have to take care of later. And we know with any kind of illness, taking care of matters as they arise will help relieve the stress levels that come with a chronic illness. Because there's always something to manage when you have mental illness
right.
or a chronic illness.
Right.
And people who don't have any kind of chronic or physical illnesses, they sometimes don't understand how, you know, the procrastination of not taking care of something can exponentially build.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, procrastination can lead to a tremendous amount of negativity in your life, not just for how you feel about yourself, but for creating, you know, a lot of turbulence in your life.
Right.
So it's really, you know, to me, it's one of the most difficult things when I work with patients is helping them learn to take care of things as they happen because it interrupts the continuity of their care if they let it get, you know, to the point where they start
mm-hmm.
procrastinating.
Right, right. Change. When things change, you know, even people without, pardon me, without mental health issues sometimes don't adapt well to change.
This is true. We are creatures of habit, and change is an inevitable part of life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very important when you go through change to give yourself room to not be happy about change
okay.
and to give yourself some wiggle room as you get used to the change and to talk yourself through that things are going to be hard before they get easy again. In my opinion, people who have chronic illness have greater difficulties dealing with change than those who don't, because it interrupts the stencil or the template of how we lead our lives.
Right.
So, you know, I know with one person, the change was something very related to their illness. It was their insurance wasn't going to cover the brand name medicine anymore,
mm-hmm.
and it was going to go to a generic brand. And the change at first was, you know, let's not worry yet. Let's wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
And then we discovered that the medicine really wasn't as effective as
right.
the brand name.
Right.
And it caused a tremendous amount of difficulty, this very slight change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for someone else, it might be work-related. For someone else, it might be home-related. Change is really hard when you have a chronic illness because it takes some time for you to get used to how it's going to play into the treatment of your illness. So for most of us, change is hard. But for those of us who struggle with mental illness, it tends to be a real monkey wrench.
Right. And I noticed, I saw that with, you know, what you were mentioning about prescription, you know, with my son. And it didn't work, the generic. Totally, it just didn't work. And, you know, the name brand is much more expensive, obviously.
Right.
And but fighting for it, you know, my wife and I fighting for him, you know,
right.
to get back, you know. And that's a great part for him. But what about people that don't have someone to fight that, you know, can fight for them, you know?
That's right. And that's, you know, this is a small change, but the ripple effect for your son is enormous. And, you know, for someone who doesn't have the support system, it's going to be even worse.
Right.
But, yeah, you know, change is really hard, especially if the change doesn't assume or turn into something good.
Yeah.
If it's just constantly something that causes disruption, it can really upset your mental well-being. So, you know, the important thing is to anticipate change, work with it, but if you need help, this is when an organization like NAMI would come into play.
Right.
You know, to kind of help a person try and find different avenues or legislature to help get the name brand medicine if they didn't have a support system at home like you and your wife are for your son.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just a lot of people I know that we come in contact with don't have that support system.
Yeah.
And it's a shame, you know?
It's really what heals the most. Community and certain individuals that can go to bat for us
right.
really makes a difference. And it is sad when you realize some people don't have that support system.
It's true. I have to take a quick break. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we will be right back, so don't go away.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you interested in learning more about Hunterdon County? Are you interested in growing as a professional and as a leader? Then Leadership Hunterdon may be for you.
Hi, this is Chris Bianco, class of 2014 Leadership Hunterdon. Work with other local dedicated professionals to learn about the complexities and interconnectedness of Hunterdon County.
We invite you to visit one of our many upcoming sessions as we begin to recruit the class of 2016.
Learn from and connect with established business, government, and community leaders.
Leadership Hunterdon, an in-depth 9-month program offered by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce.
And honored via invitation to help Hunterdon County with its challenges and shape its future. These are just some of the virtues of being part of Leadership Hunterdon.
Contact us at 908-782-7115 or visit our website, huntertonchamber.org, for more information today.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we have with us today Dr. Deborah Serrani, who I have never met personally, but we've talked, I don't know how many times on the phone and such, and I consider you a friend. So.
Yes, I do too, Larry.
Dr. Serrani is a licensed psychologist and a certified psychoanalyst and has been in practice for over 20 years. And I won't go through all the, you know, good stuff, but I'll just point out that Dr. Deb has also worked as a technical advisor on NBC's Law and Order Special Victims Unit, and she has been on in news or interviews in Newsday, ABC News, Psychology Today, Chicago Tribune, on a radio at CBS, NPR, and our show, Mental Health Matters. And Dr. Serrani has also written two award-winning books, Living with Depression and Depression in Your Child, A Guide for Parents and Caregivers. Now, we were talking about some of the things that people with mental health issues, since it is May is Mental Health Awareness Month, may find helpful. And so, you know, what we were talking about, we went through about eight of them, I think. One of them is assumptions.
In the field, we call these cognitive distortions. Assumptions are things that we base our beliefs on that often have no grounding in reality. And, there's a colloquial expression, never assume.
Yeah.
But I don't think we could really say those words on the air. But there's a reason why not to make assumptions, because often they're wrong. So what I often tell people when you're struggling with, not having a good day, or was somebody just mean to me, or why is this person being unkind to me, is to test your assumption, to test your belief system. Rather than assuming, it might make sense to say, I'm sorry, why were you just so rude to me, or I don't like what you just said to me, that really hurt my feelings. Or are you having a bad day, because you're sort of making me have a bad day too. Sometimes when we test what we think is going on, often we'll discover that we're just the can somebody wants to kick because they're having a bad day. It has very little to do with us. So when you're struggling in social situations, take a step back, take a breath, and really say, is this about me, or is this really more about the other person? And 9 times out of 10, it'll be about the other person.
That's true. That's true. How very true that is, speaking from experience. Now, the thing I think, though, also is with assumptions, and, when something like that happens, isn't it hard for the person or some people with a mental health issue to stand up and say that back to the person?
It is. There are some individuals who may have an easier time of it, but those who are anxious or those who may have illnesses that, cause them to have some struggle in social situations, it will be. That will be very hard to do. And you might not be able to have the wherewithal to say, that was really mean what you said, or why are you yelling? But if you can ask that question to yourself, why is this person yelling at me? Is it really me? I just passed them the salt. What was up with that?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you can reframe the situation, if you don't have the ability to confront, and confrontation it's a learned skill. And some people can do it, and some people really struggle with it. But you can still test assumptions and correct these cognitive distortions by almost having a dialogue with the other person in your head. That was really mean. Why did they do that? I didn't really do anything wrong. Let me think for a second. No, I really didn't do anything wrong. It really must be them. So I'm going to not really be too hard on myself because I just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. So you can kind of work that situation through without even saying a word to the other person.
Right. That's very good. That's cool. I like that.
But cognitive distortions or assumptions create a tremendous amount of noise in our lives. And it's often noise that comes from just our own wrong or complicated thoughts about things that have very little to do with really what's going on. That's why if you can say something and you do, you know, it can be a good way to kind of do a litmus test for your own sense of self, like, see, I was right, I knew it wasn't me.
Right.
But even if you can't say it out loud, sometimes if you just, you know, stop the tape, kind of rewind it in your mind, and play it through again, chances are you'll find, yeah, you know, I really didn't do this right, or no, this has nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty awesome, actually. Expressing your feelings. A lot of times people can express their feelings, even if they're not suffering from mental health issues.
Right. You know, I was reading a study not too long ago that talked about blogging. And I remember when blogging started, it was, you know, this little diary that you could do online. And people thought it was really odd at first. Like, well, why would you write these things online? And what the research has shown since blogging started, it's about 10 or 12 years that blogging has kind of had its heyday, is that the expressive piece, whether you're doing it anonymously or even just using your real name, but the expressive piece of talking about your feelings or your problems really reduces stress levels. So we know that talking about your feelings is helpful, but expressing your feelings is the bigger picture here. You don't have to talk. It doesn't have to be just through words. You can draw. You can paint. You can, you know, sing, you can dance. Express your feelings in any way that makes you feel comfortable. I have one person that loves to craft. I have another person that loves to knit. I have another person who loves to now do Tai Chi. I think that's what it is. It's that slow-moving martial arts.
Right.
Okay, yeah, that's what it is. And I have people who write, they write in a diary, they write on paper, they write a blog. It's the important piece of just getting your feelings out. And it doesn't necessarily have to be heard by anybody. That's the real surprising piece to this research, is that it's the expression that can help heal you. And it's not necessarily that you have to be heard. That's a whole other level of healing that can happen. But just the mere expression is a wonderful thing that can be healing.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, and we all need something to help us heal when something happens, you know. Or even if it doesn't, if it's just the state of mind that we may be in, you know.
Right. There are some people who exercise and that gets their feelings out. You know, they'll run or they'll walk or they'll swim extra hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in the day, we used to have primal screaming sessions. Good Lord, that was a very unusual experience to walk into a room where people are just screaming at the top of their lungs. But they would come out saying, man, I feel so great.
Yeah, because whatever they were yelling at, they were, you know, getting it out. You know,
That's right. It's the expression.
Sure.
That is so immensely healing. So it doesn't have to be talk. It doesn't have to be, you know, physical. It's just however you can express your feelings. And we want it to be productive. Like there are some kids I'll work with, they'll express by breaking things or throwing things. And they'll feel good after it. But
they've broken
something they love.
Right, exactly.
So I'll say to them, well, let's do something different. How about we throw a football as far as you can throw it, and yeah, we'll have to walk and find it, but we're not destroying anything. Or let's create, you know, let's get some newspaper and just rip and shred it to the point where there's nothing left, and then all you have to do is throw it out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's about finding productive ways. Some teenagers will express by cutting themselves.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that expression, they'll always say, I feel so good after I do that. And I say, let's find a better way. So it's about positive, goal-directed, non-destructive expression. And it really does help. Keeping yourself plugged in and plugged up, no good.
No, and, you know, it's a shame that people resort a lot of people actually resort to cutting. Talking to a couple of the people who did, they said, well, the pain in my head was so bad that when I cut myself, that pain was better. And it got me off of the pain in my head, you know.
Right.
But,
and you know, again, it's something where the expression of the emotion or the thoughts or the confusion needs to come out, and it makes you feel better. But we want it to be productive and mm-hmm. not destructive. And for some people, they need a little help in finding that.
Right.
But most people who cut can move on very readily to healthier ways of expressing. But again, you know, my point in helping anyone who's listening is that you don't have to sit at a diary with a pen and paper, and you don't have to write poetry. Just find a way to express what you need. For me, I mean, I love cooking, especially after I've had a bad day. Those chicken cutlets better watch out.
You cook them, I'll eat them.
You know? Yeah, I'll pound them down and I'll fry them all nice. You know, but it makes me feel good. I love getting my hands in, you know, the flour and whatnot.
Sure.
Much like your wife might really enjoy expressively getting her hands in
dirt.
And tending to the plants. You know, there's something expressive about it.
Exactly. We've got about six more minutes, so I'm going to mm-hmm. jump around a little bit if you don't mind.
Sure.
Rest. We need a good night's sleep, and we don't always get it.
The top two things that people with mental illness struggle the most with is eating and sleeping.
Right.
Those are the first symptoms doctors and mental health professionals look at when you come in and you say you're struggling and you're not feeling well. How are you eating? How are you sleeping? So we know that too little sleep is not good. We also know too much sleep is not good. It's
right.
like the Goldilocks syndrome. We've mm-hmm. got to find
the happy
right
medium.
Balance
right.
of sleep. And for those of us who have mental illness, it's like a needle in a haystack. It can be really hard to create what we call an architecture of sleep that really works for you. But it's so vital that when you're not feeling well, to make sure you're not sleeping too much and to make sure you're not heading into bed too late. And if those things are happening, target it. That has to be a big focus. If you're going to nap in the afternoon, make sure it doesn't interrupt your night's sleep. And this can be like a puppy chasing its tail. It's a really hard thing to find. But restorative rest is an extremely healing facet in mental well-being, but it can be very hard to find.
I agree. And like I said, I'm skipping around because we've got about 4 minutes left. So review your shoulds. Can you briefly explain that one?
A lot of times this kind of works along with the cognitive distortions and assumptions that we talked about a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The should-haves, the could-haves, the would-haves, these are all the rules we kind of place on ourselves. You know, I should have done this or I should have done that. It kind of sets up a scenario where it makes you either good or bad. If you didn't do it, you're bad. I should have done it.
Right.
And since I didn't, I'm bad. And it really can create a lot of negative thinking, which can certainly bring you down and not really keep you at a nice flow of well-being. So I always say people, you know, just kind of keep track of those. You know, mm-hmm. are you adding too many shoulds to your day? Maybe that's not a good thing. So
right.
that's what I mean by, you know, keep track of the shouldas.
Okay. In the last couple minutes, ask for help.
So
I think that's pretty. I think that's pretty important, personally.
You know, I think that people who struggle with mental illness know that help is out there, and it's such a curative piece, but sometimes they feel such shame. I mean, I know myself when I was struggling with my own severe depression, I couldn't ask for help. I didn't feel I deserved it, or I didn't know how to find it. But once I did, it was enormously helpful for me to find my own well-being. And asking for help is one of the biggest stumbling blocks that stigma creates for those of us who struggle with mental illness. But
absolutely.
There's help everywhere nowadays, not like when I was struggling with it.
Right.
So it's such a key part to be able to ask for help and to be open to it.
Right, exactly. The last, if anybody's out there listening and want to get a hold of you or your practice, how would they do that? You have an email address want to give them?
The best thing would be to start at my website, which is drdeborahserrani.com. And then from there, you can reach me on my social media. You can reach me at my office. Or you can send me an email.
All right.
So that would be a great way.
The spelling of your last name is Serani, correct?
Right.
Okay, I had it right. I'm looking at it, so I'm hoping I had it right. Real quickly, and the last thing is laugh, like we are laughing. And I think that not being a professional as yourself, but I think that when you have a problem, if you can laugh about something, it eliminates so much.
It does. Laughter is good medicine.
Right.
There's science behind it. It's something we all know, that when we can laugh, we do feel better.
Right.
I always try and find something. I always tell people to try and find something. Not that you don't want to take yourself too seriously, but you do want to try and find some way to make light in the dark. So if you can laugh, watch comedies. For me, I love the internet. I mean, I can't tell you how many funny things I see, from silly pictures to just beautiful things that make me go, wow, that's so funny. But laughing is incredibly important. And
Dr. Serrani, I really, unfortunately, we're out of time. And it just always seems to go by so fast.
That's okay. I'll come back and visit again.
There you go. I really appreciate it. And enjoy your summer. And I will talk to you soon.
You got it.
Thank you so much.
You bet, Larry.
Bye-bye now.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Parts of Waco, Texas are on lockdown after a gunfight between rival motorcycle gangs that left 9 people dead yesterday at a crowded restaurant. Almost 200 people were arrested. Now police have been threatened, but City Police Sergeant Patrick Swanton says they are determined to keep the peace despite the threats.
We have had threats against law enforcement officers throughout the night from various biker groups. We are very aware that some of them have come into our city, and we have a contingency plan to deal with those individuals.
Police were warned of possible violence and were keeping an eye on the restaurant before the shootings occurred. ISIS has seized the city of Ramadi, which is a major blow to Iraqi troops.
According to provincial officials in the city of Ramadi, the Islamic State group militants killed at least 500 people, including civilians and Iraqi soldiers, and forced around 8,000 others to flee their home.
That was AP correspondent Sinan Salahandin. This is USA Headline News.
Want a bright start to summer? Ask Sherwin-Williams during the Sunny Day Sale and save 30% on paints and stains May 17th through the 25th. With colors like pool blue, organic green, and daffodil, we've got everything you need to add a splash of color. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store and save. Find your nearest store at sherwinwilliams.com/sale. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Over 2 million families have trusted Lumber Liquidators for beautiful, high-quality, and affordable flooring. Our incredible deals mean you get the floor you want at the low price you deserve, like 5-inch click pre-finished hardwood. It's as easy to install as laminate, and now it's just 99 cents. Or get solid bamboo for less than you pay for laminate at other stores. This week, get gorgeous, hand-scraped bamboo for just $189. More deals from 49 cents and 18-month special financing. For quality hardwood floors for less, see the experts today. Visit LumberLiquidators.com to find a store near you.
Amtrak trains are moving along the entire Northeast Corridor for the first time since last Tuesday's deadly derailment in Philadelphia. USA's John Clemens reports.
Amtrak officials said all trains rolling from Washington to Boston are in complete compliance with federal safety standards following Tuesday's derailment that killed 8 people while leaving more than 200 others injured. U.S. Secretary of Transportation Anthony Fox spoke at a service of remembrance in Philadelphia for the victims.
Those 8 did not...